There, I'm Regina Soren. Welcome back to Regina Soren Audio Series. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing my humble little podcast. And I say that because this is not a great huge podcast like your Joe Rogan's and all the other big podcasters, but God is blessing it. A lot of the credit belongs to the Lord. As they say, to God be the glory. As I was saying in my last podcast, a lot of you wanted me to speak on one of the dreams I had about one of my brothers who was murdered some years ago. It's in the 80s, in 85, I think it was. I think it was 85. It's been so long. Oh my God. And there were other things I'm going to speak on, other topics. I got other really happy topics too, so don't get caught up in the stories. A lot of people like to hear the stories, but I have a lot of happy stories, a lot of sad stories. I don't know why people like the sad stories, but the sad stories have a... It's an inspirational. It gives you, you know, it's like advice a little bit to people who might be going through that. My brother Nathaniel was a wonderful brother. I didn't spend a lot of time with him as a kid. He served a lot of years in jail for something that he did not do. He was charged with a murder that he did not do. And the murder happened a long time ago, I think in the late 60s or early 70s or something. And he was charged with that. He was vindicated years later after he had served a lot of time in jail. The guy who actually did it came forth, confessed, and then he took his own life. Jumping off a building, shooting himself, whatever. So they let my brother out. And everybody was like, oh, wow, you could sue and 60 minutes would take the story and blah, blah, blah. He was just glad to be out of jail. My brother was out of jail for several years. He got his life together, worked at Spelman College, married, and was doing really well. Really, really well for somebody who had spent that much time locked up. Then, and I don't know how this happened, then he met this woman. Now, a lot of people are saying, wasn't he married? Yeah, he was married to a woman, I think, in Virginia or something like that. Sweet lady. I don't know if they divorced. I don't know what happened. But anyways, he met this lady in Georgia. And I'm telling you, she wasn't the most pleasant-looking person ever. I don't know what he saw in her. But he took a liking to her kids. He was taking care of her kids. He was spending money on her kids. And my brother was a very neat guy. He was very clean. Oh, God, he was the cleanest person, neatest person I've ever met in my life. And anyways, he took a liking to her kids and her, and he would take care of the kids and spending money on the kids. Mind you, now those kids were from her ex-husband, who he thought was her ex-husband. And I still don't know the story on that, but I know the ex-husband was still in the picture. This podcast is going to go over a little bit, guys, so... You hear a little noises, excuse that. Anyways, my brother did very well for a while with her. At least I saw it. One day, I had helped cook Thanksgiving dinner. One Thanksgiving's really nice Thanksgiving dinner. And this was a year before he passed away, got killed. I cooked a nice Thanksgiving dinner and, you know, invited my brother, of course, invited the family. And everybody was invited to Thanksgiving's. He showed up. This lady was with him. I promise you guys may think I'm crazy, but I looked at her and I thought to myself, something about her that didn't sit well with my spirit. But I didn't want to judge. You know, I really, really didn't want to judge. And she kept telling my mom, oh, I just love your son, Miss Soren. I love your son. I love your son. And I'm thinking to myself, it was something about her. Just totally something about her. I mean, how can you just say, I love your son, I love your son? It seemed fake to me. It seemed really fake. So I brushed it off. I didn't think about it no more. Everybody ate dinner. Everybody had a great time. Then suddenly, it was like 3 weeks later to a month later, I had this vision. God showed me this vision of my brother. And I see my brother in this vision. My brother was named Nathaniel. I seen him in this vision, and I seen this very same lady, stout lady, I seen her with a knife, a hunting knife, and she was stabbing him in his chest, in his back, everywhere. And I said, parental discretion advised if children are listening. And he was stabbing her. She was stabbing him. And it killed him in the dream, in the vision. About a week later, I was so afraid to tell my brother that. I was scared to tell him. Because sometimes when I see these things, and I see these things about people, sometimes they don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it. But it troubled me so much, that one night he came over. He was sitting at our apartment. I never forget it. My late sister Laura and I was in there, in our room, just talking and, you know, going over things. And he was sitting in the living room area in the dark. And God kept speaking to my spirit, this is your chance. Go tell him that dream. And I was nervous. Again, I'd be scared sometimes to tell people what I see, but I have to do it because that's my ministry. A lot of people don't think that. I may not be a preacher up preaching all over the world and a missionary or whatever. My missionary work is God shows me visions. He don't show me those visions to hold them to myself. And as I said, I dream about celebrities and all of that and earthquakes and all of that. I have to be led by God to even talk about any of that stuff. But this was about my brother. He was sitting in the living room in the dark. I walked in the living room, walked through the kitchen, didn't say a word. God kept saying, talk to him. Go talk to him. I walked back through the kitchen again. Walked in the room, and my sister Laura said, you didn't tell him the dream? I said, not yet. I'm scared. She said, you better get in there and tell him. So something forced me, and I know it was the Lord that forced me in there to tell my brother this dream. I walked through, and I told him, I said, Nathaniel, I said, I had a dream. I said, the lady that you're dating, I said, I dream, she kill you. She stab you to death. Oh, and he was like, oh, did you tell the other brothers? The other brother named Robert. Did you tell Robert? I mean, he's living a life that's a wild life. And did you tell your other brothers? I said, listen, please just listen to me. I didn't see them. If I hadn't saw them, I would have told them the dream. I saw you in the dream. And I told him, I said, as you can see, I'm shaking. It scared me. He kind of didn't want to listen, but he did listen, but kind of not want to. But did. Time passed. Time truly passed. And from my understanding, he was just having just warnings after warnings after warnings. And I never said anything else about the dream. I only prayed about it because when you see things, you're supposed to pray to God, have mercy. But if you tell a person that you see something and they go on, you know, they got to also say, God, have mercy on me. They got to be praying too. But if you don't believe it, then what can I say? It wasn't even a year later. It was like 12 months in a year, right? So it wasn't even a year later. Almost Thanksgiving's again, almost. Found my brother dead outside by a building near some apartments. That same lady was saying, oh, he was robbed. He was just, he still had his wallet in his pocket when we got over there. He was still laying on the ground. My sister, my God sister and I went over there. He was still on the ground. I actually went to the apartment. The woman was shaking like a leaf. The East Point police did absolutely nothing. I could probably get them to do more now if I open the case back up and I'm thinking of it. But police were saying, well, it looks like blood had been bleached up. And, you know, back then they didn't have the forensic stuff that they have now. It's in the 80s. But all I could think about was that dream, that vision. I tell people when God shows me these things to just at least take it to heart. Like, believe it, okay? There's something to it. Not saying to scare you up, not pinpointing. I've had family members say, maybe it's this one, maybe it's that one. I don't like when they say that because I didn't see this one or that one. You were in the dream, and I'm telling you as I would see it, not adding, not taken away. When I saw my brother's dead body laying on that ground, all I could think about was that vision the Lord had showed me less than a year before it. And I could only hope that he had time to repent and ask God's forgiveness. But he was shot twice in the face, which they say was an instant death. That's what the forensic people said. That's what the people that do the body and stuff, that's what they said. It was an instant death. You shot in the face twice. My other brother, one of my brothers, took my brother over there. Back then they had color time television rental. They might still have it. My brother who was murdered had rented out color time television for the house that he was, apartment that he was living in with this woman. My brother who took him over there with his color time television, he said, Gina, that lady's husband was over there at the house that night that Nathaniel was killed. I'm like, oh my God, really? Now, had I had all this money at the time or whatever, I could have looked into that. And sometimes you can look into cold cases and I don't want to talk too much about it because you never know what one will do, right? Right. I don't know if she's living or dead now. But the fact that it was almost a year later and my brother was murdered, shot in the face, God brought that vision back to me. The Lord said, now that's the dream. That's the vision I showed you. She was involved in his murder. Indirectly, directly. That stabbing means she was doing things behind his back and probably still seeing her husband behind his back and telling her husband a bunch of lies behind my brother's back. My brother not knowing anything, just over there supporting her and her kids. Being used really is what he was being doing, but what was happening to him. But that vision, God warns sometimes. He'll warn us before destruction hit. And that's why I know these visions is my ministry. No, I may not get up in front of people and be the elaborate speaker like a lot of people or preach the word. My dream is my visions. My ministry is my visions. And this podcast, because a lot of people hear this podcast. I felt so sad for my brother. I felt so sad. I could read that lady by looking through her when she came over for Thanksgiving. But when God showed me the vision, see, I don't go off of what I think in my heart or how I feel personally. When I see a person in my dreams and visions and I tell you about that, you better girdle up the lounge of your mind and get your house in order and just be prepared not to die, but watch. To watch. Watch your surroundings. Watch the people in your life. Watch the people who you entertain. He didn't do that. He thought the dream was this one or that one or that one or over there. No, it can be me, somebody else, you know. It was him. It was who I saw. As I told you guys, sometimes my dreams are just what I see, and sometimes it's indirectly it could be somebody else. But I felt strongly about that dream, and it worried me, and it scared me. I only wish that he had taken it very seriously. But I thank the Lord that I did tell him. Now, I'm not saying where he is. Only God knows that. I can't put a person in heaven or hell. I don't have that kind of power. But I only hope that God touched him before the last breath left his body. I often tell my family and friends, and especially my family, dreams. I just told one of my sisters out in Texas a dream that I had. I want people to take these dreams very seriously because I know what I see. God don't show me these dreams for nothing. And as I said, yes, I do see myself, guys. I see myself in dreams. Don't think for a moment that I can see something happening outside of you and I don't see myself. Yes, he shows me myself. So I just wanted to talk about that because a lot of you ask about it. I don't know what happened to the lady. I don't know what happened to her kids. I only know one day on the murder train, one of my brothers were on the train that looked just like the brother who was murdered. This lady was on the train. She tried to open the doors to get off the murder train because she thought that was my brother who was murdered. She thought he had came back. How guilty is that? How guilty is that? I don't know what happened to her, but you ain't gonna get away. Oh, yeah. I don't know what happened to her. I don't even know if she's still living. And maybe she's listening to this podcast. I don't know. But I do know one thing. You're going to reap. It's good to plant good seeds. Whatever you plant is coming back up. You plant a good seed, that good seed is going to come right back up. You plant evil, evil is going to come back up. You get what you put out. You put good out to a person. People sometimes talk to people any kind of way. They're mean. They got an attitude. And a lot of times they're mad at somebody because they're thinking about something that's happened in their life. Yeah, something that's actually happened in their life. Then they'll take it out on you. But let me tell you something. You get what you put out. You put good out, you're going to get good. You put bad out, you're probably going to get bad. People provoke a lot of their problems. A lot of things that happen, people provoke it. They provoke it. So, I don't want to go too much further, guys. It's going on 20 minutes, 16 minutes now over. But I had to tell that story because it was requested. I don't know what happened to the lady, but I do believe she had a part in my brother's death. Because she and her sister was over at the apartment when my god sister and I went over there. My brother still laying out on the ground dead, dressed in all of his clothes. He was very neat. Wallet still in his pocket where he'd been paid. Worked at Spelman College. And yeah, sister was over there. My mom used to work at the airport at the time. And when they called my mom that morning, they say, your son is hurt real bad. Your son is sick. Then the sister who was there took the phone and said, Miss Swan, no, your son is dead. My mom dropped the phone. The first thing she said is, where's my rifle? Where's my gun? My mom was so upset having to work all night long. She was very tired. But that lady's not going to get by. She could be dead for all I know. But I do know one thing. You can't do wrong and get by. No matter how hard you try. You may do what you please and feel at ease, but you can't do wrong and get by. Those are the words of Prophet David Terrell. I just have to say that. Thanks for listening, guys. You wanted this story, you requested it, and there you got it. 18 minutes now, guys. I'm Regina Swern. Thank you for listening and tuning in. You can contact me at swernregina@gmail.com.